Hello, I'm Mike Salem. We are grateful to gather with you on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, fully aware that he would be tried and crucified for our salvation. My dad, Pastor Salem, was always thankful that viewers opened their homes and welcomed us in to worship together. We hope you'll invite your family and friends today and again next week as we celebrate the joy of Easter Sunday. Today, we want to share a heartfelt note of appreciation sent to us from Michigan. Thank you for all you do. It has been a tough year for me. The materials you sent to me brought me real comfort. One constant in my life that has helped me through has been watching CWH on YouTube. Dad's sermon today, Behold Your King, guides us through Jesus' humble ride into Jerusalem, where he would go to the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are to worship the Lord together. And we just welcome all of you who've tuned us in, and we're going to just put our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to look at this wonderful, wonderful Savior, this wonderful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to be thinking about beholding your King and watching your King, because this is what they call Palm Sunday. And then we always emphasize the coming King on Palm Sunday. In Psalm 72, we read these words, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. The men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth good things. And what blessed be the glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice today that we have such a great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending him to this world so we know him as our personal Savior, and he helps us through life, and he'll help us through death and take us finally home to be with him. So bless us in this service. May everything we do and say honor the name of Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Jan is going to sing for us, Behold Your King, and God bless you. Jan. Well, God bless you, Jan, and that's who we're singing about, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There it is, Palm Sunday rolled around again, and we're going to be thinking in our sermon today, this wonderful time when Jesus is going to come again. He's going to rule and reign over the whole wide world, and we're going to reign with him and rule with him. Oh, my gracious. But you have to be being part of his kingdom in this life. You have to be receive him as your Savior. And you can just ask him into your heart and tell him you'll forsake your sins and follow him the best you can. Just like the apostles, they called the apostles, they were fishermen. Some of them were fishermen. They just left their nets and followed him. Matthew at the receipt of custom, taking in a lot of money. He was a tax collector. Boy, they made money in those days. And he just put it all aside, set it aside, put his money behind him, left it behind, walked with the King. That's the Savior, great Lord Jesus. Well, we got to share some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and I just so glad we could bring them in. And sometimes people say, oh, I don't know if you'd like to have my letter. I don't write very well. My spelling isn't very good, and my grammar isn't very good, or mine isn't either. All you have to do is listen to me, and you can get, if I just shudder if I'd have an English teacher, a literature teacher sitting out there checking my grammar, I'd go out the back door, but that's all right. We're happy, and we're talking about Jesus, and we know we got that right. That's not off-base preaching. That's the way Jesus, this wonderful Savior. Well, our first letter is from Jefferson City, Missouri. Want to remind you what a tremendous blessing your weekly television broadcast is to me. Your church service always reminds me of my little church in my hometown in which I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 5 years old. I love you, and I'm praying for you every day. Thank you for praying for me, and we did pray for this dear sister. And what does she say here? She accepted Jesus when she was five? Oh, my goodness, is that possible? Well, let me tell you something. I have a daughter, Patty. She accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now. And all her life she's had that Jesus. Don't you come to my door and tell me that a child can't accept the Lord because you don't know what you're talking about, Buster. When a little child, if a child can love his mother, he can love his Savior. And that's where, and I know I was 10 years old and slow for my age. I'm sure of that. But I knew that. I remember that same as if it was last night when that evangelist of Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and he came and he's preaching. His name was Vernon Egebroughton. I never heard such a name in my life as Egebroughton. And a little country boy out there in a country schoolhouse. When he told about Jesus and coming to Jesus and how he'd make us clean, he'd wash us of our sins and give us righteousness. Oh, I went the first time I heard the message. You see, it was easy for me to come to Jesus because my mother, my sainted mother, had taught me about Jesus since I could remember. My earliest recollection is at night when she'd tuck us into bed, read a Bible story to us, say a little prayer, give us a kiss. That was my mother. I'm anxious to see her again. And so that's just what can find. So I knew all about Jesus. Ask him into my heart. Well, let's see. Eagle River, Alaska. We live in Alaska and have been unable to travel to church on some Sundays due to bad weather. But we appreciate the opportunity to worship God through watching the Christian Worship Hour broadcast. May God continue to bless your ministry. And I got to take a trip to Alaska one time, a tour, and it was this beautiful, beautiful country. But I can imagine when they have a blizzard up there, they have a first-class blizzard, and they can't get out, but they have a church, and they go to church. Isn't that beautiful? When they can't, then they worship with us. Same thing, same Jesus, same God, same message. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. So thank you for writing. So appreciate that so much. Here's one that's really close to us, our city next south of us, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And these people write and say, my dear mother is 93 years old, very sick, and is in hospice care at an assisted living facility in Sioux Falls. I call her every Sunday at 10 a.m. to help her find her services, as she can't remember how to operate her control, TV control, without my help. She's so happy when she sees your face and knows that she can hear your message and keep up the good work. You've helped her save so many souls find their way to heaven. And here she is, this dear old saint, and she remembers my face. Well, I think most everybody sees my face, remembers it for quite some time, and that's all right with me. Just hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I have a verse that I always share with these older people, the old gray heads. I'm one of them, 97. If I live just a few weeks, I'll be 98, up to the Lord, you know. But it's given to us, Isaiah 46 chapter and the 4th verse. And he writes, I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. Isn't that beautiful? That's from the Living Bible. But that's true to the King James. I have the King James, and I love it. That's nice. But this is a lot clearer. And I quote it all the time. You know, we read about Jesus carrying the little lambs. We had sheep. That's all my dad was, sheep. He wouldn't have a cow on the place except a milk cow. That is it. No cattle running around our place. Sheep all over the place. And sometimes they give birth out in the field. And those little newborn lambs will have a hard time walking and keeping up. And my dad had to carry that lamb, carry it to the home. And the next day it was just fine, get his strength. That's what God does to the new Christians, the little Christians, and the young people and the children. He carries us. But he just carries not just the young people, he carries the old people. Here it is, see, I made you, I'll care for you, I will carry you along and be your Savior when your hair is white with age. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He loves us all. Age doesn't make a difference. Here's Nova Scotia, Canada. I thank God for the Christian Worship Hour telecast, which is such a blessing to my soul and spirit. The first time I heard your preaching, I couldn't get over how simple and clear you preached the word. It was as though you pulled a curtain back. May the blessing of the Lord rest richly upon you, your family, your church, as you go on to faithfully preach the word of God. And so there's simply this. We preach the Bible so the children can understand it. I don't know any big words. I know a couple. I don't know how to pronounce them. I just make a fool out of myself. But you know, when I read about Jesus, he just told parables and stories and simple words, and he made it so the children could understand it. And I figure if the children can understand it, everybody can understand it, see? And so that's what we do. We're just talking about, in just on our simple, plain, humble way, telling about Jesus. And we never get tired of him. I've been preaching now almost 75 years. I never get tired of talking about Jesus. And all the time he gets more wonderful. Oh, if you know him. And I've said it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. You don't know him. When you know Jesus, you'll love him. And you know, some people, they look so good at a distance, but when you get up close, boy, they aren't so fancy. The closer you get to Jesus, the more his perfection shines. The more perfect he is. He's just so wonderful. Take him as your Savior. Here's one from Alaska. And this person's Hadar, H-A-D-A-R, Nebraska. Can a person go from hell to heaven after they die if they change their mind about God? Will our prayers help? And what we have to do, dear friends, is look at Hebrews chapter 9. You know, most all these questions answered in the Bible. And here's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. In other words, when we die, the judgment is set. You're in heaven or you're in hell. You immediately go to heaven or you go to a place of torment. The moment you die, no changes there. And so that's what we remember, the story that Jesus gave us in Luke chapter 16. About the rich man and Lazarus, and they died. And he had brothers still alive on earth. And he talks to Lazarus. He says, warn them that they don't come. He didn't say, get me out of here, because he knew there was no way out. He was in eternal torment or eternal bliss forever. But he says, tell my brothers they don't come to this place. I don't want them to come to this place. So now is the day of salvation. And once we die, once that's, it's all settled, no changes. That's what God says. Here's Buffalo, New York. Thank you for your wonderful teachings. I pray for you and pray that Jesus saved, my life. And if we pray to accept Jesus, he'll save our life. Don't make it hard. Don't make it difficult, because him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus will accept us. And when you read the story of Jesus in the New Testament, all the way through, you never see somebody that he wouldn't accept. You see a lot that didn't accept him, and you see a lot that listened to him and then left. And as a rich man, a rich young ruler came to him, and he listened to Jesus, and Jesus invited him to come and join him and to leave your riches and leave all and follow me and come with me. And it says the young man went away sorrowful. Whenever you go away from Jesus, when you have an encounter with Jesus, and you go away from him, you're always going to be sorry. You come to Jesus now, and some of you could come right this minute. You may have been thinking about it, and you've been talking about it. You've heard others talk about it. You heard us preach about it, and you want to come right now. You can come this very second. You know what you do? You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. You won't be perfect, but you'll leave the old ways and walk with the new ways, because you're a new creation. Then just say, thank you, Jesus. That's all. That's it. Don't make it hard. He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all of you to come. So don't make it hard. Bunch of things you got to do, this and that, and monkey around everything else, and be a certain age and all that, and have certain training and all that. Didn't get that out of the Bible. Didn't get that out of the Bible. He, the Philippian jailer, he wanted to be saved. And Paul says, the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? You see what happened. Paul was in prison, Paul and Silas in prison. And the shaking came, and an earthquake came, and they were free. But they didn't run away. They didn't run away because they were Christians. They're living for Jesus. And the jailer's saying, I want to be a Christian too. What do I have to do to be saved? It's all in Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. So don't make it hard. Make it so a little child can do it. Well, let's see, where are we here? Buffalo, New York. Yes, I got that. Let's see, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I discovered this show by accident, and it has been a blessing. And so this is a man here. He's so happy that he's found the way. Well, they found, I'll tell you why you found it. It is because God led you to it. The Holy Spirit led you to that. He wants you to have another chance. He wants you to hear the message. And the message is as plain as day. Children can understand it. And I can't preach so I get so fancy I don't even know myself what I'm talking about. Just plain, simple, everyday talk. And that brings me to the last letter. And I just love this letter. And I can imagine in my mind, he's an elderly man. He has gray hair, and I'll bet he has whiskers. Just bet anything he has whiskers. And here it is. He's from Two Dot, Montana. Wouldn't you believe it? Two Dot, Montana. Here's what he writes. I've enjoyed the services every Sunday as I am remote in the mountains and seldom get to town. Well, good for you. Stay out of town as long as you can, I'd say. He says, I have sinned, but usually ask to forgive them. Old school, O-L-E, old school, and believe he, Jesus, is the one and only way to get us through this old corrupt world. If only everybody could enjoy his guidance like us older folks, things would be much better. Pray for his forgiveness and live life good. Old Mountain Man from Two Dot, Montana. I tell you, I just love that. I wish this fellow would send me his picture. And if he does, I'll tell you about him. I just can see him sitting out in the mountains, sitting with the Lord, and boy, the Lord is seen in creation. Oh, as the psalmist says, I look to those hills and I see the power of God. And I'm going to tell you some of these mountains, those beautiful mountains. Two Dot, Montana. Boy, I'd like to go and visit there, but I got a walker and I won't be going up to any mountains, I can tell you that. But I'll see this gentleman in heaven because he's got his faith in Jesus. So we'd like to hear from you. And if you'd like to write us a letter, we'd love to get it. I'll tell you where you send it. Send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You know what you can do? You can send money over the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we need to have your help because we have to pay our way. You got to pay our bills just like anybody else. And God says here, well, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have some needs, they'll figure you've got everything taken care of. So we just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. You send it one day and we send it out the next day. That's the way we live. But you have to send it. You have to pray for us and give. And I'll tell you how you give. You ask the Lord, first of all, do you think this program is, should I use the Lord's money to support this program? And you pray about it. If he says no, don't give him a penny, then don't send anything. If you say he says yes, you ought to support him, then you say how much? And you might jump a little bit when he says how much. I don't know. And then you send it to us. And we're not underwritten by any corporation or any denomination or like that. We're just from God's people. So we tell you, and then God speaks to your heart, and we paid our way for over 40 years. That's the way we lived. It's the only way to live. And if you're worried about how the money is spent, you don't say, well, I don't know if I can trust him or not. What do I know about him? Well, I'll tell you, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books every year. And believe me, they go every dot and every pencil, every mark we have. They watch us, and we're happy that we go through with flying colors. We're proud to be a part of that organization. A couple other things quickly. We have a little Bible study we send out every month. It's called the New Song. And you write to the Christian Worship Hour, and we'll send the new song. And this month, where our Bible study is on, I Know My Redeemer Lives, because Easter is this month. And then if you want to, you can get a film called The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's a wonderful film. It tells people how to come to Jesus. And you can show it to friends. Sometimes it's hard to witness to them. You can show it to friends, and they'll get the message, and they'll take Jesus. All right, now be sure to help us here. I'm going to give it again. This is for shortwave people. We have shortwave people covering 95% of the world's population. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. We're going to be looking for your letters. So now this is the way we take our offering. Jan plays, I pray, and you pay. And how can you beat that setup? So dear Jesus, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, our scripture is taken from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And if you look that up, and I should tell you a little bit sooner, but I keep forgetting. And we're going to read a passage. Peter is preaching. We don't have the whole sermon. He had a long sermon. And if anything we doesn't go over very good, it's a long sermon. And but part of that, his passage, and they just had Pentecost, and the church is born, and Peter preaches. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Jesus hadn't been just hardly crucified and raised, and the disciples always, the apostles always talked. They never talked about the death, but what they talked about, the resurrection from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to preach. We want to pray about now, and we're going to pray about the persecuted church in Myanmar. It used to be Burma, now it's Myanmar. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this Peter's sermon here. We thank that he fearlessly stood up and he told how that Jesus died and Jesus is the Son of God. He died to pay for our sins and was raised the third day. Thank you, dear Jesus, for this man's faith. Thank you that though of all of the apostles, so far as we know, all but one, John, died of a violent death because of their faith. And I don't know about all of the disciples, but apostles, but we know, Lord, that right now your people are suffering in some part of this old world. They're giving their life and they're giving their homes, they're giving their church and giving their families. They're seeing the hard things of life. And so we pray for those, dear Lord, in Myanmar. We pray that you'll help them to know that we love them and pray for them. We're thankful that they can get the Christian Worship Hour on their shortwave radio and they can worship with us. And they're part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, Lord, is a wonderful thing. And part of the family of God is in heaven and part of the family is on earth. But we're just part of one family, some in heaven and some on earth. And the day is going to come when we'll all be in heaven. And won't that be a glorious, glorious day? So the wonderful things we have through Jesus. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you'll help us to really to love you and trust you and lean upon you. Help us, dear God, and help our people that are hurting and dying and suffering. Help them not to give up and help them to know that we are encouraged by them and they're helping to make us better Christians. And someday all these things will be past. You said there'd be tribulations, Lord, but you said to be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And now a good friend of mine, Hank Bowker, he's going to sing for us Like a Child of God. And God bless you, Hank. Thank you,
Pastor. Soon the day is coming for Jesus to return, and the pages of my life he will unfold. Will he find in me a man who has been true? Will he say to his child, welcome home? I want to live like a child of God should live. Lord, help me live like a child of God should live. And Lord, when I fail you, I pray you will forgive. Lord, help me live like a child of God should live. I ask you, Lord, to remind me every day of the grace that has been given unto me. Through your love, I have found the work worth living. With my life, I want to offer you my praise. I want to live like a child of God should live. Lord, help me live like a child of God should live. And Lord, when I fail you, I pray you will forgive. Lord, help me live like a child of God should live. And Lord, when I fail you, I pray you will forgive. Lord, help me live like a child of God should live.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Hank. Hank and I go back a long ways, over 50 years ago. I remember Hank accepted the Lord, gave his life to Jesus, and he's singing for the Lord. And can he ever sing? I'm going to take just a minute to tell you something about Hank and I. We were having meetings in a country out in one of the cities near here, about 100 miles. And we're going to have a special meetings, three nights. Hank was going to sing, and I was going to preach, and we was going to have a revival like Billy Graham. And so anyway, we got the word out and everything. That night there, they came to the hall. We had a nice crowd, boy, and everything. And Hank, he sang like everything. Now and then he says, now Pastor Salem's going to preach. And I got up, and about half the congregation got up and left. They came to hear Hank sing. And I said to Hank afterward, I says, Hank, do you mind if maybe I preach first next time? Because we got so many wonderful memories. And he is a dear brother, and he's a great Christian man, and I'm proud to know him. Well, I want to talk about this wonderful Jesus, and who is only one Savior, one God. Jesus is man, and he's God. He's unique. There's never one been like him, and never will be another one. And this wonderful Savior, and I'm going to tell you something. This is what we call Palm Sunday. And we talk about it when Jesus comes on from Bethany on the Mount of Olives, and he rides into Jerusalem on a little mule. And they call him King of Kings, and they call him the King, and they praise him, and cut down the branches for him and all of that. Well, that was just before his teachings, and that was before his work on the cross and everything. And it's just a kind of a little picture of what's going to happen at the end times. Because Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity, and he's going to come and rule over the whole world someday. That's what I want to talk about. When this Lord came, he is the King then. He's not a king just of the Jews, but he's a king of the whole world. Not the king that day when he rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey, but he was sending a worldwide message. And that was the same message that our great prophet Isaiah gave 700 years ahead of time. He talks about this living Christ, this loving God, and he talks about Jesus as a great king. He says in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, he says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What Isaiah is saying here and other Old Testament prophets are saying and declaring, that Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, is Jesus Christ, and he's going to come and sit someday, literally, physically, on David's throne. This Messiah sitting on David's throne is going to rule Israel, and he's going to rule the whole wide world. And as fantastic as that sounds, there's still something more fantastic, and that is that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is going to rule the whole world forever. He's never going to die. He died once and was raised from the grave. He will never die again, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so God has a kingdom, and this kingdom is coming on earth. And Jesus Christ is a king, and he's going to have a kingdom. Just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus was asked by his disciples, and they said, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were talking about a literal, physical, political kingdom, just like the Roman government, the Roman kingdom. They wanted to know if Jesus would establish that long-awaited kingdom right then and now. And if not, just when would that be? Now notice, Jesus replies to them. And in his reply, he does not deny the fact that one day there will be a literal kingdom on earth. He does not deny it. But he says instead, "It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Jesus is king, saying, "Yes, I have a kingdom. I'm going to have a kingdom, a worldwide kingdom. But when? The Father in heaven will decide that." And many years later, some years later, perhaps 35 or 40 years later, one of the disciples, John, wrote under inspiration of God's Spirit in Revelation 11:15, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord, our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That goes hand in hand with Isaiah's prophecy 700 years before he was born, before Jesus was born. Unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the king over all the world, all the earth. God's kingdom is going to be established in a future date, and other prophets and apostles all spoke about that. So there is a kingdom coming, and man is going to try to stop it, and they're going to fight God, and they're going to be against God, and they're going to do everything else, and they're going to look like a bunch of fools. And God says in the Psalms, when they resist God and fight God, it says God just laughs. He laughs at their puniness, and they are so powerful, they think, and they are so weak and so, but the kingdom of God, they make them fools of themselves when they resist the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why you ought to accept Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of your life and become a part of that kingdom. You ought to do it right today if you haven't done it before. The King is the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls him my King, God's King. And Isaiah wrote about him when he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Notice this, very carefully. "Unto us a child is born." He was born by Mary in the flesh. But he says a child is born, but as a son, he's given. He always has been the Son of God. He always will be the Son of God. Don't miss that. "Unto us a child is born in the flesh, but unto us a son is given to come and be among us and to set up his kingdom." This great, I just get the chills when I think about this. As a child, Jesus Christ had a human genealogy. Romans 1:3 says, "Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made in the seed of David according to the flesh." According to the flesh, keep that in mind, he says, "who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh." That is, his flesh when he was born, his flesh when he ascended into heaven, is in the flesh right now in heaven by the throne of God. And when he comes again, he's going to come in the flesh and he's going to rule in the flesh. This wonderful, great God. But he's always been the Son of God. Always been the Son. Remember the 16th Psalm? It tells us that his flesh shall not see corruption. Verse 10. Psalm 16, verse 10. His flesh shall not see corruption. So Jesus Christ in the flesh shall return to rule the throne of David. This is a literal reign. It's not imaginary in a spirit form. It is in the flesh. That flesh that was resurrected from the grave is this flesh now and will be forever. And our bodies will be the same kind of risen. And when we raise from the grave, for a Christian, and we're going to have that flesh that will abide forever. In the flesh, we will be with God, that resurrected Christ. So the Son is called the Everlasting Father by Isaiah. Jesus also said, my Father and I are one, born a child after the flesh. Son is given, has no beginning or ending. And of this one, Isaiah declares in 9:7, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall reign without end. There'll be no end to his reign. He shall sit upon the literal throne of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 is a great chapter, and it deals with this matter of Jesus being on the throne. It contains what we call the covenant that God made with David, the Davidic covenant. And this is what the covenant will be. He says this, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. God is speaking of the Jesus Christ in this prophecy. I will be his father, he shall be my son. In the 16th verse of this chapter, God says, his only begotten son, Jesus, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So don't take it lightly and don't pass it by. Always remember that when God spoke to David about a house, he was not speaking about a spiritual house. He was not speaking about a material house right then. He was speaking about a political house, a royal family of royal descendants. And that's what's going to be with Jesus. And when Jesus speaks of a kingdom, he's referring to a place ruled by a king. Nothing imaginary, nothing fictitious. He's about a literal king on a literal throne. It's real, it's actual, it's a literal kingdom. When God spoke to David about a throne, he meant the literal seat of a literal king. The throne of David is just as literal as the throne of England. It will be a literal, except that it will last forever and abide forever. So it is with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David. It is all flesh, literal and actual. The throne of David is empty today. There's nobody sits on David's throne. David's descendants did occupy the throne for a few centuries. Remember when David and then Saul and so on? They were on that throne. They ruled from that throne. But sin and rebellion on the part of those people caused the overthrow of the kingdom, and Israel was carried into captivity. Then Israel was scattered throughout the nations of the earth, all over the world. God knew all of this was going to happen. He warned through the prophet Hosea. This is what he said. Listen to it. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice. So Israel wandered over the face of the earth under the judgment and chastisement of God. And then one day, centuries later, an angel named Gabriel came to a virgin named Mary, and this is what he said. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. David of after the flesh. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1:31-33. So it all happened. when the wise men came from the west, came from the east, they said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" They didn't say born to be a king of the Jews, but they said born to be king. He's the king when he was born. He was king of the Jews. The wise men said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" But when the king of the Jews came to the people, they rejected him, and they cried away with him, and they nailed him to a tree. And Pilate, the Roman governor, placed over the head of Jesus on that cross, it says, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And there you have it. God Almighty used Pilate to write the truth for all the world to see and to know that all hell couldn't change it. Jesus Christ is destined to be on David's throne, and that throne will last forever. Furthermore, God's covenant with David was not broken by death that day, because God raised Jesus from the dead so as to sit upon the throne he promised to have on earth on everlasting. So Peter talks about that in Acts chapter 2, verse 29. He says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak you of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, David's loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." And here he is. He's raised up, and he's after the flesh is of the seed of David, and as a son, he's after the Son of God, and he's going to rule and reign forever. And he tells us where he's going to be, where he's going to have his throne. God declares that the sun will be on a holy hill of Zion, that is the city of Jerusalem. The first mention of Zion in the Bible is in 2 Samuel 5, verses 6 to 9. The Zion is a hill in Jerusalem, an older, higher part of the city. Later, Zion came to be used for this whole city of Jerusalem. David's throne was in Jerusalem, never anywhere else. Jesus the King is in heaven. It's now is not seated on the throne of David. Jesus' throne is in heaven, but he's coming to earth, and he's going to sit upon this throne, and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. Oh, the Word of God, the mighty Word of God. When God writes it, you can put it down. It's going to happen. Men may laugh at it, and men may reject it, and may make foolishness out of it, and they may to make jokes about it. But God is God Almighty, and when he tells us something is going to happen, it's going to happen. This enthronement is going to take place when Jesus comes again to this world. It's all going to happen. It's going to happen as Jesus comes again. And let me remind you, friends, it could happen any minute, because every prophecy in the Bible I know of that precedes the coming of Christ has been fulfilled, and he could come before this sermon is over with. We have no idea. And then God said, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Matthew throws additional light upon this. And Matthew says in Matthew 25, verse 31, "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." And this has reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, while his throne is located on the holy hill of Zion in Jerusalem, his rule will not be limited just to Jerusalem, and it won't be limited just to Israel. His rule is going to be worldwide, universal. It's going to extend all over the earth. Remember what John says in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15? "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever." Remember what the prophet Isaiah said 2.5 centuries ago? "The government shall be upon his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." It will never end. And Psalm 72 tells us in 72 verses 8 and 11 and 19 in that psalm, it says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. This is the coming of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, oh God, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come as soon as you can. And yet before he comes, there are precious souls to be saved. When Jesus comes, it'll be all ended and there'll be no coming to Jesus anymore. But when this Lord Jesus in this world, he waits and says, oh, just come and end all of this misery and suffering. And then God will say, I must wait a little more. And maybe he's waiting just for you today. Wherever you are all over this world, the Holy Spirit is there by his word talking to you. And he's saying you ought to come. And there's something saying to you, I want to be a part of this great kingdom. I want to have Jesus Christ as my king. I want to rule and reign with him. I don't want to spend my torment, all life in torment, in a lake of fire with the devil and his angels. I want Jesus. But I don't know how to get Jesus. And I'll tell you how. In John chapter 5, verse 25, it says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, you've heard it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you believe on Jesus, just take him at his word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath right now, hath everlasting life. The minute you believe, the minute you receive, you have everlasting life. And then he goes on, Jesus isn't done yet. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. How could you say it any plainer, any clearer? All you have to do is say, dear Jesus, I am a sinner. God knows it, but he wants you to confess it. And I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. We'll never be perfect, but we strive for perfection. And we say, I'll leave that old way. I'll leave fishing and we're like Peter. And I'll receive the receipt of customs like Matthew. And I'll leave this and I'll leave that. And I'll follow you. And Luke, with the physician, gave it all up to follow Jesus. And so I'll follow you. I'll live for you the best I can. Now, you'll never be perfect. And when you fall and when you fail, you ask Jesus, just Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. You'll never lose your salvation, but you'll lose your fellowship, see? It's just like if you have a boy and you have a son and you have a disagreement and the boy leaves and the fellowship is broken. He's still your son. That's settled. But the fellowship is broken when the boy comes back like the prodigal son. The father took him and he hugged him and he kissed him and he took him back. And that's why when we fail the Lord, we ask, dear Jesus, I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry I was jealous of somebody or whatever. I'm sorry I gossiped. I don't know what it is. You just tell him and ask him to forgive you. And he'll forgive you every time because my grace is sufficient for thee. And God tells us where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But you have to pray. You have to ask him in. He'll never come in unless you ask him. And so I'm praying that you're praying that now. And if you do that, then you read your Bible. And you write to us if you can. I know some of you can't. But you write to us or get a friend and talk about Jesus. And if you can, send us a gift to the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to have your gifts to carry on and to pay our way just like anybody else. And don't forget, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books all the time, every year. There they are, just as sure as the world. And they go through a pinpoint all the way. If you'd like to have our Bible study, it's about to... I know that my Redeemer lives. You just write and tell us like the new song. If you want the film, whatever it can weigh. But just let's hear from you. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. So So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for all who join us today. I thank you for those who have just accepted you. Now help them to get in the Bible and get started in the Christian life. I pray for those to the children and the young people. I pray for the old gray heads, Lord, that are having their troubles and trials. I pray for the lonely, and I pray for those deep in sin and they think it's hopeless, but it's never hopeless with you. There always can be a turning. There can always be a new starting again, a new day. So, dear Lord, have your way in every heart and every life, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, all right, now I'm going to give the address one more time. This is for those on shortwave because you don't have a screen. Shortwave, you kiss box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you pray for us as we pray for you. And then if you accept Jesus, we'll see you in heaven, and we'll talk about how that you're out in the jungles, you're out in a tent, you're way off somewhere. We don't know where you're at. Maybe you're really in hard times. We'll talk about that. We'll see the glories of heaven. We'll be together forever, and always remember this. God loves you. He sent his son. He gave his son. What more could he give? Because he loved you that much. And the Christian worship are our team. We got a whole team of people. And we're praying and working and carrying this work on. We love you. And I want to tell you that I sure love you. I wish I could show it some way, but you'd have to take my word. I love you. I want to see you in heaven. And so God bless you. Put your faith in Jesus, and I'll see you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.